Well, amen. God bless each one of you. Good morning to all of you. We're glad to be here this morning. I was convicted of that message there in my heart of being offended easily sometimes, and I had to think of the words of Jesus Christ when he spoke one of his parables. There was a group of people in front of him that were very much offended, and he turned to his disciples and says, will you be offended also? So I believe the Word of God is that way for us. Sometimes, as Jerry shared this morning, that the Word of God is sharp. It does prick us at times and cause us to be offended, and which is good, because I believe that God has ways of turning people's hearts and turning situations in people's hearts to Him. So I was encouraged by that this morning. I think sometimes it's easy to be offended, and it's also easy to offend. It's a two-way, which we heard. I don't want to go over that. I was just encouraged by it. God bless you for your labor there, Benji. Well, it seems this morning I was, seemed like the Lord has kind of had a verse ringing through my mind for some time here, and I looked into it a few weeks ago, and I thought it would be a blessing to share with you all today. The text, excuse me, this morning is in Matthew 25 that I'd like to look at here this morning, and that we might just look at the Word of God in frankness and simplicity and honesty and see what the Word would tell us today. The title of my message is Shepherds, Sheep, and Goats. So Matthew 25, we'll read a portion of Scripture there and see what we can learn today. Beginning in verse 31, of Matthew 25, Jesus is speaking. You know, he gave the parable of the 10 virgins, of the talents, and of the last judgment. This would be of the last judgment. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. That's the verse that's been kind of ringing in my heart and mind. As a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee as a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto thee, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, this would be the goats, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of those of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. One thing I'd like to point out there in verse 40, he says that he mentions that inasmuch as ye have not done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. I think he calls us to be, have hearts that are willing to help wherever we can, but especially to the household of faith, is what I can glean from that. But just looking at that, I would like to turn back to Matthew 24 and read a few scriptures there. If I can get to the passage I want here, Matthew 24, and he speaks again of a division. He speaks of his coming and return, verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. I think I'll quit reading there, but for you children, I'd just like to emphasize that those few scriptures there, that there will be two women shopping at Walmart. The one will be taken, the other will be left. And there will be two men driving their tractors in the field, plowing like we are at this time of the year. The one will be taken, the other will be left. Just to bring it home. And what I'd like to talk about here, when Jesus said that as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. You know, there's going to be a division that never was before. And that division, what is so alarming in my heart, is that it is a final, eternal division. It'll never be changed. There's a finality to that division that is just makes me quake. Because it will be a righteous division. It will be a division that no one can speak against for. No one can speak against it or for it. It will be a division that will be irrevocable. It won't change. I'd like to impress on you children this morning that this will be a division that will last all eternity. As much as we understand about eternity, it will last, it will have a lasting, and that is why that is important today, that we understand whether we're of the sheep or of the goats. And looking at that, in the sheep and the goats, there was an understanding here when Jesus was preaching that everyone knew about the division of the sheep and goats. Everyone knew what he was talking about. And I looked into that a little bit. There was the reason was that the sheep in those days were held in very high regard. A man and his family counted the sheep as very precious. And they would care for them in the best way. And we can also look at so they was held in a high regard, and at the end of the day, there was always this division. The shepherd would separate the goats from the sheep and bring the sheep into his fold and keep the goats outside. They all understood that. And as we look at that, we can learn a little bit. I think it would do us well to just think on the dispositions of those two animals. And the one thing I'd like to emphasize is that a sheep's skeletal or a skeleton and his muscle makeup and a goat's skeleton and muscle makeup are very much similar. If you saw a skeleton laying on the ground of one or the other, it would be hard to distinguish. You could not tell. But the disposition and lives of these two was very contrasting. It was very in contrast. Sheep as a whole are mild and meek and pleasant and quiet and submissive. And sheep have a principle among them that they need a shepherd. They can't function by themselves. They don't know how to function without a shepherd. Where the goats, they are quite uncanny. They are crafty. They find their way through fences. And they have ways of when there can a herd of goats get out through a fence and you speak to them, they know right where they got out. And they're crafty. They can figure out how to get out and they can figure out how to get back in. And I believe that the goats, I think we can learn from them that the goats knew that the sheep had a shepherd that would lead them to fresh pasture each morning. And it was there, they would like to kind of side in with them to get out to the pasture in the morning. And they did that. They walked with the sheep, the goats did. But when the evening came, the shepherd said, "You can't come into the fold." They would divide. That's the context of this. And I believe that if we look at that, and this is Jesus teaching here, that everyone that was under his voice understood that division of the sheep and the goats. There was no misunderstanding. And let there not be one here today. And then the disposition and I believe, as to give an illustration, in that time, while they cherished their sheep, there was an underlying contempt for the goats back in those days. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 15 of the elder son, what did he tell his father? Luke chapter 15. When his father was making a feast for the son that was returning home, he told, this is how the elder son approached him. They told him to come in. Your brother is back. He said he was, verse 28 of Matthew or Luke 15. He said, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him again. And he answering and said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me even a kid. You never even slaughtered a goat for me, that I may make merry with my friends. Was he offended? He was very offended that his brother was coming home. The picture of offense right there. But there was a contempt there that you never much as slaughtered a little goat for me. So there's things that we can learn. I would like to look at a few things that we can learn from this. The character traits. Goats, they thrive in harsh environments. They're independent. They're proud. They consume anything. They'll eat poisonous plants. They'll eat tin cans. They have a diet that is unhealthy. But they are none the worse for it. They can survive an unhealthy diet. And they can, they're real quick with their feet. They can stand on the mountainsides and they can live off about nothing. They can live, I like to illustrate that as the goats being the world of the world. They can consume all the poison that the world has to offer for them, to them, and be none the worse for it. The world loves the world. They can consume the poison and look good doing it. The world can't get enough of itself. And that is why, now let's look at the disposition of a sheep. The sheep, he needs to have a healthy diet. He needs to be led to green pastures each morning and fresh water during the day. They need that help. There was something, and the thing about a sheep is they can't do it without a shepherd. And the thing, and the, there was, I read this in studying for this message, that a sheep will stand at a water hole that dried up and die right there. Imagine that. But he will stand right there and die for lack of water if there's no water there. They don't know enough to go find water. They need a shepherd. And the thing, if I look at that, How many times does the Word of God liken the church to the flock of God, the sheep of His pasture? That our full reliance and dependency would be upon the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. And as I back to the diet, you know, do we think, this is what I'd like to put a question out there, do we think that the sheep can participate and consume and digest the things that the goats do and survive? You can't partake in poison and think that you're going to survive it. That's just a simplicity. The world, in all its entertainment, the entertainment industry, the movie industry, everything is in full steam. They can't make enough of it. They can't produce enough of it to consume the lust that's there for it. But the sheep, if they partake in those things, it has a sentence of death upon it. There needs to be a repentance to come away from what the goats eat, what the goats consume. The character traits of a sheep. Another thing, the goats tend to be very healthy, but they have a tendency to destruct. They can eat wood, they'll eat metal, they'll eat everything. They like to tear through everything. They have a destructive nature. Sheep are not that way. The character traits of a sheep, number one, is sheep go astray easily. One sheep alone will never find his way back to the flock. The parable of Jesus Christ. 99 sheep he had, the one was never going to find his way back. He had to go get it. Number two, sheep cannot protect themselves. They can't protect themselves. They need a shepherd. Wolves, lions, bears, they need a shepherd to watch over them. Number three, we talked a little bit about this. They cannot find proper food. It is a shepherd's duty to feed and water. Then I mentioned about the well. They'll stand in front of a dry well and die right there. So with that, the Bible has a lot to say about sheep and shepherds, and I'm going to turn to Ezekiel 34 and read that in its entirety. There's a blessing in there that I think that we would all just, with a soberness of mind, consider what the Word says. And this is going to speak to the shepherds and the sheep. And I don't, you know, I'm just going to read the Word and we'll have a few comments on it. Ezekiel 34. There's an interesting scripture here. But it was a time that the children of Israel were straying away from God, and the Lord laid it to the shepherd's charge. Ezekiel 34. One thing about the number four character trait of a sheep, I want to mention this. Sheep do not function independently. They have a flocking instinct. They love to be with other sheep. They love that. When they're separated, they have a, if you ever want to hear a cry of distress, is when you have a lamb separated from its mother. It's just like, it's just a distressful cry. And sheep have a flocking instinct. They love to be with sheep. But let's turn to Ezekiel 34. And this was when Ezekiel was the prophet of God, and he was speaking to his people. But as I was studying for this, I just want to read a few verses in Ezekiel 33, the last verses. And this is, in Ezekiel 33, he's talking about that if we are righteous and we sin, that righteousness is not going to help us. The Lord is still going to, and vice versa, if we're filled with iniquity and we repent and become righteous, the Lord will count us righteous. But then at the end of that chapter, he is speaking to those people, and then this is God speaking to Ezekiel, beginning in verse 30. And it's just something for us all here to consider this morning. It says, "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee, Ezekiel. By the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they came unto thee as the people cometh, and they acted like they were the flock of God, in other words. And they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. In a nutshell, what the Lord was saying there, the people that you're speaking to, they're standing in their houses talking about you. And they tell other people, come, let's hear what the prophets say. They love to come to hear the word of God, but they won't do what the word is asking them. And God is warning Ezekiel that they like to hear you as music to their ears. It gives them a good feeling to come gather to hear, but they won't do it. Just something for, I just looked at that and I thought, Lord, there's a message in there for us, I believe. Their heart, they say, one caught my, for with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Something to us consider, but that was off the subject here this morning. Ezekiel 34, this is God reproving the shepherds in the beginning here. And the word came unto, but what I like about this chapter is God's responsibility to a shepherd is fully explained. It gives him his mind. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered, because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely, because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. Now he's speaking to the sheep. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and I will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but ye must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, Behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the disease with your horns till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. This is speaking of Jesus Christ. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of the yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God, and ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. I just think that that's a beautiful scripture. I don't know. We can learn a lot from that this morning. First of all, a shepherd's duty in life is to watch over the health of his sheep. We learn from this scripture. That they're fed and their health is watched over. If he sees a sick one, he's a minister. It's almost like the shepherd has to be a veterinarian. He's got to minister medication, the remedy for what is ailing the sheep. If they have broken bones, they got to have a cast put on. If they have, if their diet is of utmost importance, you know, but what he's saying here is the shepherds were seeking their own, and not the welfare of the sheep. And by seeking their own, they were lining their own pockets. In other words, they were butchering the fat sheep out of the pasture. They were gleaning the fat for their oils, and they were also eating the meat. And you know And there's a verse in 1 Corinthians 9:7. I'd like to turn, just read that a little bit before we come back to that chapter there. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 7. It kind of gives what this is teaching here. First Corinthians 9, verse 7. It says, Who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges? In other words, I don't fight with my brothers. The next one is, Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not the milk of the flock? In other words, the benefit of the flock of God belongs to me. But also, I can be a benefit to the flock. I say that carefully, but hear my heart, that we are to benefit one another. The flock of God are for each other, not against each other. And he's saying that these shepherds in Ezekiel 34, there in the beginning, were selfish shepherds. They were looking to just for their own benefits. And in the end, they drank the deep, clear water. They drank that for themselves and walked through it, that the sheep had to eat the muddy water or drink the muddy water. The same way with the field. There's just a lot we can learn that sheep needs man's care, and in return for it are serviceable to men. Now, sheep, if you tend the flock with utmost care, they will multiply and they will produce for you wool for your clothing and food, the meat for your food, and they'll also produce oils through their fat that you melt, and they are a life-giving sustenance for the shepherd. They also, it's very important that we look, understand the relationship between the two. It was like the in Jesus' own teachings, which we're going to get to later on in John, he always, I love that teaching. You know, there was a, I'd like to give, just leave this Ezekiel for right now, but keep that in mind as brothers, that we learn to have a heart to care for one another with a fervency and not just a big show on Sunday morning, but that we would pray for one another during the week with a zeal. You know, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, that we care for one another, that we have a burden to pray what's before us. Pray with each other and for each other. Be instant in prayer, the Bible teaches us. But you see a lot of character traits come out of this Ezekiel 34 that are not good. You know, they're just it opened my eyes. You know, Lord, I don't want to be that when we see that sheep are sick, the one thing I did understand, though, when there was if a shepherd sees that there's a sick sheep, you know, the sheep don't respond and say that I'm not sick. You know, he takes the advice and counsel that the shepherd might give him in meekness and humility. You know, if it lines up with the word of God, you know, we have to receive instruction. The proverb says to receive instruction is this paraphrase. To receive instruction is life. To refuse instruction is death. And we need to receive instruction every day from the word of God and from our brothers. It's designed of God to work that way, to help us in our life. There's one thing I had to think about is I've never heard much of a sheep fight. I don't know if they fight or not, do they? Who's had sheep? I've heard that they tussle a little bit. They'll fight, but the one thing I do, but sheep, when you handle them, if you lay them on their backs, they're very submissive. They're done. The fight is out of them. But I'm sure some have told me. But I also understood, one brother told me that someone told him that he had a flock of sheep, or no, he had one sheep that he put in with a flock of goats, and that sheep turned into a goat, literally with his disposition. He was just like him. Something to think about. Okay, let's turn to John chapter 10, the Gospel of John. This is a familiar portion of Scripture, but I just think we can learn a lot from that this morning. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. Looking at the context here of this is that Jesus was speaking openly to the scribes and Pharisees who had just wondered, were trying to find out how the blind man got to see. There was a lot of people offended when that blind man saw. And they were very offended that this is the context when Jesus delivered this in John chapter 10. He says, verily, verily, that means amen, amen. It's very important. I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. That's us, the Gentiles. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down. This commandment have I received of my Father. Excuse me. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Thank you for that drink. One thing here, sometimes this passage can be a little confusing, but I believe we can understand it here somewhat this morning, in that Jesus Christ is the door and the shepherd. He's both. He's sovereign. He can be both. But I'd like to draw an illustration here. The way I understand it, back then I had told you earlier how that the flock was dear to the families of Israel. And if I think I read this and I believe it to be true, it corresponds with the Word of God. But this would be their house here. And this might be the front door here, the entrance. But the sheepfold was back here. And it was like this. There was no access to the sheepfold unless they went through the master's door. And I believe there was a gate here. This is the way it was laid out. It makes sense that the bar was on the inside, and this is where the shepherd would come through this door and lead his flock out to pasture in the morning, and they followed him. And when he come at night, they would he would bar the door on the inside and then walk into his house. But all that other came before me are thieves and robbers, and the thief cometh not to, but to, and they climb up some other way. The other way is to climb over this fence here to get into the fold, which there is no other way to get in that one fold. I think we can understand that. This little illustration just helped me to see how that Jesus Christ is the door, but he's also the shepherd of the flock, that he can lead the flock to greener pastures. So keep that picture in mind. I think it just helps us understand that verse 1 there, that he said that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and robber. So as we look at that, you know, there's a lot we could learn there. To him the porter openeth. You know, I believe that it could be speaking. Verse 2 could be speaking. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. It's speaking of the shepherd of the church, I believe, here. We need to keep that in mind as well. And, you know, that there, I believe that we should humble ourselves and recognize a shepherd in this life as well as Jesus Christ being the chief shepherd. You know, it's the heart of God. You know, Roman Miller said that whether they know it or not, sheep need a shepherd and they need to be led, whether they acknowledge it or not. That is a God's design. You know, why would God, in all throughout scriptures from beginning to the end, call his people the flock of his pasture, the flock of God, the flock of the sheep of my pasture? You know, he has a sheep fold in mind. You know, he has a sheep fold that is glorious. It's the church of Jesus Christ. And he talked about, he reminds them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. You can't get into the fold outside of Jesus Christ. You know, are we willing to humble ourselves to that truth of the Word of God? You know, what about the ecumenical movement that's in the world today that says that, well, let's just believe what we want, we love each other and walk together into the kingdom of God or toward God? False. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, there's major movements among us. If you keep your eyes open, that there's ecumenical movements where churches are trying to draw together with everyone together. It's the end time coming, Lord, people that they want the Buddhists and the Hindus and everyone to gather together and say, well, let's just worship God together. It's false. I am the door of the sheep. Then he talks about all that other ever came before me are thieves and robbers. You know, I believe he was speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees that their hearts were not turned to God, but they wanted their own agendas they were pushing. And then he gives this promise. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, if you come in through Jesus Christ, you will be saved. And not only that, he will lead you out back in forth through that door that you can find pasture, life, and have it more abundantly. The thief, the devil, he cometh not. The only reason he comes is to steal and to kill and to destroy the flock of God. That's the only reason he comes. The opposite. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, the one that is just, his heart is not in it. He's just hired. You know, there's a big difference. I don't know how to say this, but a hireling is someone that is just there for the job for a short season. They don't care for the eternal consequences of the flock. It is just there to do this short job. And the thing of it is, it's difficult. You know, the hireling is a watchman that watches over the flock. He watches outside of the flock. What's attacking the flock from here? What's attacking the flock from over there? I need to watch. I have to have a rod and a staff. I have to watch the flock. There's wolves out there that want to tear the devils at every side. There's wolves. The responsibility that goes with that is unbelievable. And the thing that we need to understand is the enemy's chief goal is to destroy and separate the flock. He wants the flock standing one man here and one man over there and one man here and one man over there. He don't want a union. He hates unity. He wants the sheep scattered. He wants them scattered like we'd scatter sand from a seashore. He wants it separation. That's what the devil wants. He hates unity. The hireling runs when he sees this trouble on the outside of the camp. He careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. How do we respond? How do we respond, as we read this morning? Those people when he separated them as a sheep and the goats, Jesus talked to them about what they did, the things they did. There's a thrust nowadays that there's no doing. Beware of that thrust. It's not truth. You know, Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. If the hungry, to feed the hungry, to clothe the poor, the naked, and to help the poor, that is the requirements, or that is the requirements, but our hearts should be into that we are following Christ's example. You know, if we see that and don't do it, how did that scripture end this morning in Matthew 25? Very alarming. So there is a doing to the Christian life. Praise God. Then he goes on to say that as Jesus Christ, he said that I gave my life. I give of myself. The spirit that should be among us, that we would give of ourselves and not, we don't have, you know, the thing of it is, if we have a selfish nature and try to keep things for ourselves, then what? You want to gather up a heap of mountains and junk of piles of rust that's going to decay? Or do you want to lay up treasures in heaven that you care for the flock and help the poor and needy and help the brethren? Those are things that just in everyday life, I think there are principles here that we can be offended or we can help. It comes right down to that. We can be offended or we can help. If we know to do good and do it not, it is sin. I'd like to turn yet to the diet of a sheep and their disposition. You know, they love green grass, they love clean grain and water, fresh water. They are meek, quiet, and submissive, and they always look to their shepherd for those provisions. And the another thing that I thought was interesting is that sheep, when there's a sick one among them, they will gather around that sick one to protect him. Beautiful.